last time that I spoke here, the title of the sermon was Love Beyond the Border, but it really was a presentation and a sermon about three things. One of them was walls, the other one was gates, and the other one was borders. And the interaction between them, how they are distinct, and how every single part of that is really, really important. And simply having a wall has certain benefits to us, to it, for protection. And then gates are a means by which others can come in, which is good, but also how we can export what we have. And borders itself are also very, very vital. And we saw how the love that we ought to have for other people is to be extended beyond the border. And we apply this three different ways. We apply it to our nation, of course. What's on headlines more than walls and borders and gates, right? So we can apply it to our nation and the interplay between those three concepts. And we apply it to our nation. We apply it to the church. In Isaiah, the prophet talks about the fact that his kingdom has walls and has gates. Its walls are salvation for protection. Its gates are praise, because we're to export that praise. This is true of the nation. This is true of the church. This was true last week, or last time I spoke. We closed it out with how important walls and gates and borders are for even a woman's body. And we apply it to the horrors that we find in New York State with this reproductive act, where there does not seem to be love beyond the borders. And while there is a wall, even an internal wall, we talked about our skin being a border of protection for us, and walls, and for the unborn, and exporting into the future where you have no gates, where there is no love that's extended beyond the border, there's no future. Today I want to take that interplay between walls and gates and borders and show that a very, very similar interplay takes place in a completely different field. And so today we're going to talk about climate, weather, and the forecast. And if you know me, you know that my highest concentration here is not going to be about the physical climate or the weather outside being frightful or what the forecast may or may not be for this week. But we are going to talk in a very, very serious way about our spiritual climate, our spiritual weather, and our spiritual forecast. And so the title of the message, it may seem a little odd to you, is Calling All Climate Change Deniers. There are these folks in the world who are climate change deniers, and we're going to look at that in a slightly different way as we look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Let's read that. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this new reality, this new climate in which we live. We thank you, Lord, for this climate that not only suggests, but requires of us to hold the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the center of our worldview. Father, we pray that you would work within us such that any other philosophy, any other principle that is vying for centrality in our lives would be demolished. But that indeed it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is the center of all that we hold to be good and true. Operative and as the basis for motivation in our life. If it's not true, we pray that you would make it so today. In Jesus' name, amen. If the science is settled, and we hear that a lot, if the science is settled, how much more the scripture? But in fact, we have an old King James, but now, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead and is the first fruits of them that have fallen asleep. The scriptures are settled. Jesus Christ is risen. The climate has changed. It changed marvelously and magnificently and distinctively on Easter Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. The climate has changed. The truth of God prevails. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a stamp of approval on everything that he said, on everything that we read in the rest of the Bible. It's been validated. The truth of God prevails. There is sin. There is salvation. There is hell. There is heaven. There are worldlings that abound who in a very speculative way worry. They're wringing their hands over the climate and they're saying, if we do not act and if we do not act now, it's all going to be over. It may be over in as few as a dozen years. We have to do something right now. I would suggest that we can have a healthy speculation about that. I think that that's very, very doubtful, that if we don't act right now, we are putting at risk the fact that we will even exist in a decade or in 12 years. But I would further say this, would to God that they and old people would stop being spiritual climate change deniers. Because for a certainty, if we do not act, if we do not act, and what I mean by act, if we do not repent, if we do not embrace Jesus, there is indeed a lake of fire that awaits. And we shall surely know of a global warming of a different sort. One that is far more intense. And one that is eternal. Spiritual climate change deniers are in far greater danger than mere physical climate change deniers. You want to deny conventional and physical climate change? You can do so. Likely be in good company here. Denying conventional and physical climate change. There may be plenty of good reasons to do so, but do not be a denier of spiritual climate change. In fact, Christ has been raised. And he is the first fruit of them that have fallen asleep. The talk of such a spiritual climate change means that we also do well to also consider the concepts of weather and the concepts of forecasting. What is climate? We hear about this all the time when we relate it to the idea of physical and conventional climate change. We hear that, oh, wait a minute, wait, that's just the weather, that's not climate. We hear about these concepts of weather being different and forecasting being different, and we understand the idea that climate is in the aggregate, and we understand that. We understand that weather is simply what's happening right now, what's happening outside, and we understand forecasting to be that which is predicting what the near term or the longer term will be. We know this. We hear about this all the time. And when someone ends up saying, oh, there cannot possibly be climate change because, you know, we're freezing to death here. We just got 12 feet of snow. Someone else will come by and say, oh, that's just the weather. The climate is changing. That's just the weather. So we understand the difference between climate and weather. We know this well. The weather on any particular day may be opposite and contrary to the climate. And we know that forecasts, long or short term, can also be in contrast to the climate. You could live in the sunshine state, right, and have a rainy day. A rainy day doesn't make Florida no longer the sunshine state. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You could have a 50-degree day in February in upstate New York. It could happen. That's the weather. But the climate in upstate New York in February, not quite that promising. We understand that. So we know that the weather can be contrary. It can be opposite. We know that forecasts, short term at least, can be contrast to the climate. But when we get back to the climate that we're talking about here, the most important thing is to get the climate right. To get this right. That in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first fruits of them that have fallen asleep. This means that God is. This means that God rules. This means that you can trust him. This means that Jesus rose from the dead. Get that right. Get that right, and you can handle any weather. Get that right, and you can handle any forecast. What am I getting at here? You get that right, that God is, that Jesus rose from the dead, that we can trust him, then you know what? We can handle a bad day. We can handle a rainy day. We can handle a forecast that says, the scan shows that you have cancer. The forecast is not very good. Get the climate right. You get that right, you can handle any weather. You can handle any forecast. You get that wrong, and you know what? The weather doesn't really matter much. And neither does the forecast. As a matter of fact, they're all for naught. If we forget the climate, I mean, think about 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, the verse right before this. Okay? If in this life only, if you're only depending on what the weather's going to be like during my life, if you're only depending on what the forecast is going to be like in my life, and you forget the climate, if in this life only you have faith in Christ, you are of all men most miserable. The older King James says. Some of our modern King James language tries to fix it up a little bit and make it only that you're pitiable. The meaning of the word is, you're pathetic. If you forget the climate, even the Bible is telling you, if you forget the climate, you are of all men most pathetic, most miserable, most pitiable. And yet if we get the climate right, we become among that great number who say, I can do all things through Christ. I can weather this storm. I can abide this forecast. Look at our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the man who trusts in himself. He's forgetting the climate. He's forgetting the picture of God. He makes flesh his arm or his strength. Okay, the arm of flesh will fail you. We sang that in our song, Stand Up for Jesus. Whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when any good comes. Don't forget that. He shall not see when any good comes. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land.
person who forgot the climate. He's without God. And what that means is that the best of weather is useless. Sunny day after sunny day, blessing after blessing is useless. You would be like this man if you forget the climate. You will complain even if you're in paradise. And we have testimonies about that all around us. We saw, Karen and I, we saw a special about Elvis Presley the other day. I mean, a guy who had everything, right? Youth, strength, vigor, good looks, money, power, fame, talent. 10 other things I probably could say that I could name that are all going the right way. The weather and the forecast in his life is terrific. And yet near the end of his life, as he's dying of this induced drug, zoning out that he was in, he said, "Oh, for one day of peace." Because the weather wasn't holding him up. The forecast wasn't even holding him up. We didn't understand the climate change, that says, but in fact, Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that have fallen asleep. We would complain even in paradise. Think about our culture. You know, think about how so incredibly good it really is. I mean, we live with creature comforts. We have technology. We have communication. We have transportation. We have food in abundance. We have leisure in abundance, such that people in the history of the world could only dream of. And we are a nation that is miserable, and we're miserable complainers. People would love to have the weather we have. They'd love to have the forecast we have. We have it, but we're a nation of complainers, and we're a nation that is miserable. And every year we hear about, oh, things are just so bad, and if we could only have $15 an hour as a minimum wage and everybody got it, it would be great, it would be utopia. And then we do that and we find out, well, that's not really so good. Maybe it should be $30 an hour. Or maybe we should just make sure that everybody has $50 an hour. Or maybe we should make sure that everybody is making $100 an hour at their job. Great weather, right? Great, great. That's the way it is. That would be great. You know what would happen the next day? Probably before the next day, later that day, you'd say, you know, 105 would be better than 100. And we become like the guy here. We have a salty bitterness about us. We're still thirsty. We're not satisfied. How about the one who gets the climate right? The guy who gets the climate right. Look at the next two verses here. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. There's something else on the long-term horizon climate for him. Whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree that's planted by the water that sends out its root by the streams, and he does not fear when heat comes. Heat here is not a good thing. Heat is oppressive here, okay? Heat is too much here, okay? Its leaves remain green. This is harsh condition. This is bad weather here. But he's not afraid of it. And he's not even anxious in the year of drought. Rain, water from the sky, that was blessing. That was life itself. But he's not anxious about it. He is able to withstand really bad weather. He's able to withstand a really, really bad forecast. Because he's got the climate right. He or she is blessed. They're happily filled with joy. And according to these verses here, they don't even hardly notice when the weather's bad. The other guy doesn't even notice when it's good. The climate change denier doesn't notice when it's good. They're still miserable. Here's a guy who's blessed. He's got the right horizon. He's got the right climate. He doesn't notice hardly that it's bad. Heat is coming. Scorching heat. heartily filled with joy, hardly noticing when the weather is bad, whether it's the heat or it's the drought. He can have a drought and he'll still be fruitful. There'll be no real impact. Life is good for him.
Verses 9 and 10 of that passage.
Don't get faked out by circumstances. Your heart is deceitful above all things. Don't get faked out by the weather. You know what I mean by the weather. I'm not really talking about the rain outside. I'm talking about the conditions in your life. Don't get faked out about that. If things are going good, that, oh, you must be right with God. If things are going bad, don't get faked out by the weather. Don't get faked out by the forecast.
Your heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Don't be a climate change denier.
By the way, I want you to look at a verse just outside of our lectionary reading. It's the very next verse. It's Jeremiah 17:11. And it says this, and this is kind of like what your typical worldling is. The person who really doesn't understand the faith and certainly trusts in themselves and doesn't trust in God is like a partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch. So is he who gets riches, but not by justice. In the midst of his days, they will leave him, and at his end, he will be a fool. That's a picture there, and forgive me, I don't mean to sound overtly or intensely un-American, but your typical American person who's not a Christian has gathered around them and enjoys all of these goods and services, this wonderful life that they have, that isn't theirs. It came from God. It's part of the coattails of this wonderful heritage and culture whereby we've been blessed with God. We're enjoying them, but they're not really ours. We are like this partridge here. This brood, it isn't ours. And you know what? It's going to be taken away. And without hope of the resurrection, we will die as fools. We will think that this stuff was ours, that we created it, and that it's always going to be there for us and with us. But in the midst of our days, it'll go away and we will die. Fools, trusting this weather and this forecast that is untrustworthy. If you are a climate change denier, a spiritual climate change denier, you will look too much to the weather. What's happening today? What's going to happen tomorrow? But no matter how good that weather is, it'll never fulfill you. Our gospel lesson is instructive here as well. Our gospel lesson in Luke in chapter 6 and verses 20 and 21. And let me say this first. This will come up again when he talks about those who are rich and poor. If you're not careful reading the Bible, you can come to a conclusion that Jesus is really always absolutely opposed to the wealthy because they're wealthy. And yet, you want to be careful not to draw that conclusion. Some of the greatest people in the history of the Bible were very, very wealthy. Moses was very wealthy. Abraham was very wealthy. David was very wealthy. All these godly people. What Jesus is talking about, remember, Jesus comes into a setting, and the setting is this, is that the Jews of his day were so fully corrupt. He lived in a society such that really, if you were rich, that means that you were participating in the corruption of the culture. Okay? And if you were poor, of course, there could have been other reasons why you're poor, but if you were poor, at least it meant that you were not participating in the corruption, and it probably meant that you were retaining a measure of integrity. So let's just leave that aside for a bit. But what is Jesus saying here? He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." And then he says this, "Blessed are you who are hungry now." That's the weather.
is not in just this life. Blessed are you who are hungry now. He says this, for you shall be satisfied. I mean, this is a trustworthy forecast. Then he says this, blessed are you who weep now. That's the weather outside. And it may be a short-term forecast for you, but the longer-term forecast is that you shall laugh. Those were the conditions now. And those were the conditions with a forecast that you could trust. If we move on to the next couple of verses, 22 and 23, it talks about the idea of being blessed and being and rejoicing in that day. That you know what? Even when it's raining outside and bad things are happening, you can rejoice. What did he say? Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you. This is a pretty bad piece of weather going on here, don't you think? Bad conditions. When they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. I mean, I had a conversation just not too long ago with someone who got an angry phone call from a relative because she was standing up for the right thing and tears are running down her face because this relative is rebuking her because she is doing the right thing. That's bad weather, right? A relative calling you up and reaming you out on the telephone. Going up and down one side of you and down the other. But you're standing firm for Christ. Jesus says, blessed are you when they do that. When they hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spurn your name. He says, rejoice in that day. Boy, that's hard to do, but you know what? It's pouring rain. I hate this, but Jesus gives me in him because I understand the climate. He not only rose from the dead, but he's the first fruits of those who do fall asleep. Now I'm a part of that group. I can rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. They leap for joy. Your reward is great as heaven. In heaven. This is what they did to the prophet. Likewise, or maybe I should say contrary-wise, look at the next couple of verses here in Luke 6 and 24 and 25. Woe unto you who are rich, there's that rich and poor thing again, because being rich in that culture meant that you were part and parcel of the corruption and not holding to your integrity. Woe to you who are full now. That's the sun shining on you. That's good weather. You shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now. If you're a part of that horrible corruption, and if you're a part of that throng that's sitting there in the Senate chamber of New York State when they pass this horrific bill about reproductive act, which is the slaughter of infants, if you're standing and cheering and laughing now, woe unto you. Where do we go with this? I mean, who knows what our tomorrows will be, right? God knows. God knows. God knows what our short-term forecast is. And I'm not God, but if I had to say the way we're going, in terms of what we deserve as a people, it's going to be some pretty tough sledding ahead. I personally don't expect a lot of happy, good weather days here in New York or here in America. But the Bible is very clear and it is very certain about our long-term forecast. Habakkuk 2 and 14. If you want to read a book about real corruption, read the second chapter here of Habakkuk and how everything is just cutthroat. I mean, you know, they might have just changed the name of the book to New York State. Just read about the abuse. But in the middle of that, there's a long-term forecast. And that long-term forecast is there, and it's pointing towards that change of climate that took place on Easter Sunday.
For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Being a spiritual climate change denier is deadly for an unbeliever. Failing to act, failing to repent, failing to embrace Jesus Christ brings a torment and an eternal hell, a lake of fire, far worse than any outcome of any physical global warming event. It's deadly for an unbeliever. But it's also debilitating for Christians. Failing to see the new climate. It's debilitating. Because the world is not running down. Yeah, we may have bad weather days. And lots of them. We may have a really bad short-term forecast. But the world is not running down. We are not polishing the brass on a sinking ship. The central theme of our worldview is not the fall of man. When you open the Bible and you say, what does it mean to be a Christian? You ought not to be thinking. I mean, a piece of it is, of course, Adam sinned and they fell. They fell in the garden and the earth is cursed. That's a piece of it. But that's not the center of our faith. The center of our worldview is not that fall of man. It's not that curse. Hey, we go to work every day and there's thorns and thistles, right? Things don't work out. But that's not the center of our worldview. The second law of thermodynamics, right? Energy seeks its lowest level. Things go down. There's death. There's decay. The second law of thermodynamics, entropy, is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Christ rose. He's the first fruits. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central theme of our worldview and the basis for us being believers in this climate change, this spiritual climate change. On any given day, the weather may be such that our bodies fall into the ground and die. That may be the weather for me later today, next year. Maybe the weather for you today. Maybe the weather for you next year, next month, next decade. I don't know. Maybe the short-term forecast. The weather may be such that our bodies fall into the ground and they die. But the long-term forecast is great. Because, praise God, the climate has changed. And all God's people say,
amen.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us and the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we would ask that we would be strengthened by this vision, by this centrality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as being central, Lord, to our worldview. May it govern all that we say, all that we do, all that we think, all that we feel. Make it so, we ask. In Jesus' name.